thank you for joining us today for Financially Fit, where you will learn how to build your money muscles by making small changes to get you in better financial shape. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola, and we're looking forward to sharing insights from our fee-only fiduciary, registered investment advisor firm, ATI Investment Consulting in Stony Brook. Our mission is to empower and educate you so that you not only get stronger financially, but so that you can make better decisions and never be taken advantage of again. This show is for you. We'd love to hear what questions and concerns you have. So call us at 631-675-1420 and you can help us help you. Be sure and visit our website, www.atiinvestment.com, or email me, Dina, D-I-N-A, at atiinvestment.com. And you can have access to our blogs when you're on our website. And if you email me questions, we can certainly incorporate them in future shows. So today, what we're going to do, we're actually going to break with our normal format because Tony wrote an interesting blog and it's very topical. We're in the height of sports season, right? I mean, the World Series is going on. Mets have made it there.
Football, baseball. Hockey. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's basketball starting up.
Basketball starts soon, so it's an onslaught.
And so this was the inspiration, I think, for your blog, which is located at maliceforall.com. So be sure and check it. It's called 10 Sports Terms That Help Explain Wall Street. And it was really very clever, if I do say so myself. I can say it because I didn't write it.
Well, it's just, you know, sports has a lot to do with investing. You know, it's like, it's almost like it's a big competition and there's scores or your investment returns and there's a lot of kind of big personalities. So it's kind of easy to connect the two.
And drama and emotion and manipulation.
Yes. Huge drama, huge emotion, cheating.
Yes. So,
you know, so there's,
ask
there's
Tom
a lot.
Brady about that one.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on that we can compare.
So we want to point out some terminology in sports that actually has application in the financial world. And one of the things that you mentioned is junior varsity, which is not a flattering.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you don't want to be on the JV team,
right? Well, basically, you don't want the JV team, you know, handling yes. your money is more like it. You know, like in, you know, in high school, the junior varsity or the developing players will hopefully one day go to varsity. But in finance, you know, if you don't have a certain amount of money to invest, you really aren't treated best of care. And that amount of money could be significant. You could have $250,000 and be considered, you know, a small account and kind of handed off to the help desk, the junior varsity who are learning on the job. And maybe that's not, you know, maybe to them $250,000 isn't a lot of money, but I'm sure to you it certainly is. And you certainly deserve, you know, better treatment than having, you know, inexperienced people who are going to make mistakes and make mistakes on your account. So that to me is a connection that isn't a positive for you.
I think the really scary thing about junior varsity members is that they go to great lengths to seem more experienced and more knowledgeable than they really are. And true story, I remember a friend of mine got a job years ago at a, for lack of a better word, a boiler room. And I remember him saying that he had to drive a different kind of car and he had to lease a different kind of car because he had to look older than he was. He was driving, you know, a sports car that a younger guy would drive. And they told him, oh, get a Cadillac because you'll seem older. And all these little cosmetic things that basically send out a signal to an investor that the person is more successful, knowledgeable, perhaps older and wiser than they really are.
Yeah, I when I worked in Lehman Brothers, the brokers, you know, would mainly have clients outside of the Boston area because they never wanted to be able to go to lunch with them because they didn't want to kind of meet them in person and the people would kind of see exactly maybe what they were dealing
You're
with.
You're 12 years old.
Yeah, and you really don't know too much. Except
I have suits
from,
older than you.
Right. Reading from a script doesn't qualify you to manage money, but that's a whole other story.
Well, that's an interesting thing because my background, having been in financial communications, scripts are a very large part of that business. And I know because we would have to write what the objections they would need to overcome. So if the client says this, you know, objection, you counter with that. And the sales guys were really well coached, and they would go on retreats to practice mm-hmm. their pitches, and they would get peppered with questions that a difficult client might raise. So this is legitimately part of that business, and you need to understand that. So that's what happens when you're with the JV team.
Exactly. And none of that energy that they're devoting is really going to make you more money. It's all of that training is designed to make them more money. And that's really the bottom line.
Okay. The second term you raised was garbage time, which was not something I had ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, garbage time, it's kind of like when you put a player into a game and the game's already over, and they might, you know, have a bunch of statistics that are quite meaningless, because, you know, you could have a basketball game and now your team's losing by 40 points and they throw some players in and a player scores now 20 points, and maybe on the stat sheet it looks really good, but, you know, the points meant nothing because the game had already been long decided. So, you know, I consider it garbage time, you know, sitting in front of financial media, you know, that's on 24/7 and watching this stuff all day.
People,
you know,
screaming.
Yeah, people, you know, wide putting on the TV. And, you know, you got to understand, like, people just, they don't get math. Most people are innumerate. So when the numbers are thrown at them, they tend to panic. Like, let's think, if a market went down 3% now, right? And if the Dow Jones is at, you know, 18,000 or so, you know, that's a lot, 500 point decline. But let's really think of 3%. Would you get really upset if it was 80 degrees out, you know, and the temperature declined 3%? You know, that's 2.4. So, you know, that's, you know, now the temperature is 77.6. So it went from 80 to 77. You know, right. It's numbers. So when you kind of turn, you frame it like that, is that a big deal? Is that a big weather event? And I'm not saying, you know, money and weather are the same thing, but when you hear that big number, you have to understand what they mean. So when you watch TV and people throw crazy numbers at you and yell and scream, it's like I said, it's not useful behavior, and it'll cause you to make bad decisions.
It's kind of like watching a political debate when they start throwing around facts that are
and everybody's just making stuff up.
Yes.
So it's this kind of the same thing.
You have to question the numbers.
Right, you've got people on, then they're making predictions about things, and it's just, like I said, it's garbage. It has no value except for, you know, the advertisers that are sponsoring these shows and the people making the crazy predictions, because maybe they'll sell more books or whatever they're trying to do.
Number three is a luxury tax. And this is an interesting point, that the NFL is a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, somehow they worm their way into
what?
That. And it's well, it's like hedge funds. You know, hedge funds, they call it carried interest. And these guys make millions of dollars a year, and they're taxed at a much lower rate than, you know, a secretary in their firm. So there's something wrong, obviously. And that has to do with, you know, political connections and all the stuff that goes on in our country.
Yeah, that is a lobbyist's dream.
Yeah. So, you know, a luxury tax in sports is, you know, when a team goes over a certain amount in their payroll, they have to pay a tax, because many sports now have salary caps. And, you know, it's a penalty for overspending. And, you know, I kind of compare it to, you know, when you have a hedge fund and they're charging you 2% and 20% of the profits. And it's mostly rich people that use hedge funds, and to me it's a luxury tax on them, because for the most part they're unnecessary, and using a basic, you know, investment formula with low cost index funds would probably net you a higher return overall, and now you're paying this, you know, exorbitant fee. And the reason you're paying it is because you're rich and you're supposed to own these hedge funds. And, you know, these guys kind of play that up big time, so they'll kind of get you into thinking that you're doing this great, unique investment that's only open to very rich people. But meanwhile, you know, you could have done something much better at a much lower cost.
Right. And they only want the big account because that's in their best interest to gather large quantities of assets.
Yeah, 2% of 100 million is a lot better than 2% of 100,000.
Right.
So that's
the exclusivity
numbers.
Of it
yes.
is really to their benefit,
yes.
not to yours.
No.
But the sad part about that is this affects endowments. This affects money
absolutely.
That is going to good causes
right.
that could be used for very good things, and instead it's being
wasted.
Fees.
You know, and you know, costs, investment costs are just a killer. And you know, there's a saying in investing is not what you pay for; you get what you don't pay for, and that's the big difference.
Right.
You know.
Right. So. Well, we have quite a number more of these points to go through, which we're going to pick up after the break. So we hope you'll stick with us. Be sure and visit us at ATIinvestment.com. If you click on the radio and blog tab, you can access previous shows that we've done. We did a four-part series on college planning most recently. So check that out and be sure and share it with family and friends. And if you're traveling, make sure that you download the LI News Radio app so that you could take us wherever you go. Be sure and join us after the break. We have a lot more to go over. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Financially Fit. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola. We're actually going over a blog that he wrote that is up on maliceforall.com, and it's topic is that we're discussing sports analogies that can help explain Wall Street. We thought this was a really topical thing to cover, given that we're in the midst of the World Series and hockey has started, football is in full swing, we've got basketball kicking off, everything's moving, and there's these sports terms that kind of can make understanding Wall Street a little fun and interesting.
Yeah, because Wall Street is purposefully, you know, misleading, and you know they do things on use jargon that nobody understands, and that's done, you know, on purpose. But sometimes, if you could, you know, teach people about money by using a topic that they already understand, it's a much more effective strategy than the normal, you know, jargon filled, you know, nonsense that goes on.
So we're hoping that in covering this topic in an interesting way, it'll stick with you. You'll actually retain it and be able to see this stuff coming before you make a bad investment. Mm-hmm. I love number four, unsportsmanlike conduct, because unfortunately we see this an awful lot. Ugh. And if people were just aware of this and how to sidestep it, they would be so much better off.
And it's unfortunate because in investing, you know, in football, you could throw the challenge flag and now the referees get to look at the instant replay, and if a mistake was made, you know, it'll be overturned right away, and you know, you kind of get your money back. But in investing, it's very difficult to undo many of the things that are done. There is no challenge flag to throw, so you have to really be careful because it's filled with unsportsmanlike conduct, and unfortunately, many times the firm, what happens is they're fined. And even though it might sound like a lot of money, it's not a lot of money to them. They basically keep this set aside as reserves, you know, for just a cost of doing business. And on top of it, usually what happens is, you know, they make a deal, which they pay some money, and then they neither admit or deny guilt, so no one else could sue them. So, you know, they literally, you know, get away with murder because they will, you know, deliberately defraud people, get caught, pay a fine, say they didn't basically do anything wrong, and then, you know, it'll happen again. And the same, you know, procedure goes on and on and on. So there's a lot of problems out there.
Ladies, you'll be happy to know that the financial world is actually afraid of you, because one of the things that financial professionals try to do is not pitch to the ladies, and of course they use a word that rhymes with pitch, and that's because women are hip to bad pickup lines.
Exactly.
And there's no shortage of bad pickup lines when it comes
so
to that
that's,
industry.
That's very commonly known. They'd rather, you know, get a man on the phone because he's more likely to fall for the stories and the hype, and a woman is going to be more difficult usually to convince to do this kind of stuff.
And if you have a family member or a friend who's just recently, you know, started employment with an insurance company, be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Yeah. I mean, one of the conditions, you know, it's really crazy, but they'll say, okay, in order to work for our firm, before we hire you, you have to prove that you're, you know, a good salesperson for this product. And they want you to sell, you know, insurance to your family and friends and come on board already with, you know, some revenue being produced for them. You know, regardless of the fact you know nothing about insurance and you could be, you know, really causing great harm to somebody that could need that insurance or be underinsured or have the wrong type of insurance. But that's not the way it works. So, you know, that's another egregious example of unsportsmanlike conduct that's much more damaging than anything you would see on a sports field.
Insurance products are really profitable for the firm and for the salesperson. True story, I was approached by an insurance agent who said, you know, why don't you get your insurance license? And I said, I honestly have no interest or knowledge really of insurance product, no desire. And he said, well, listen, if you get the license, you don't have to do any of the work. Through your firm, and meaning ATI Investment Consulting, you know, we see people's finances and sometimes we do tell them, hey, make sure you get more insurance. He said, if you send that business my way, if you have the license, we can share commission and you can earn easily an extra $50,000 to $60,000 a year just by referring business my way where I close the policy. And, you know, of course, he didn't understand that we're fiduciaries and we strongly believe in a conflict-free fee-only environment where we do not want to get caught up in commissions of any kind. And when I refer somebody or if Tony refers somebody to another professional, be it an attorney or an accountant or an insurance person, that we just want to know they're doing the right thing. I don't want even a dinner. I don't even want a flower. So, you know, just be aware of that. That goes on. They're all nice guys. Trust me, they're nice. They're so, so nice. If nice were a profession, that would be their full-time job. Mm-hmm. Be afraid. Be yep, very afraid.
Exactly.
Okay. Triple play. Do not be victim of a sleazy broker's dream of a diversified portfolio.
Yeah, there are all kinds of really illiquid, high-cost, high-risk investment products that the only reason they're out there is to make large commissions for the person selling them to you. And, you know, an examples would be, you know, variable annuities,
insurance,
you know, different, you know, different other different types of insurance products. You know, there's something called non-publicly traded REITs, which, companies have gotten a lot of trouble for selling them to unsuspecting people. And basically, you know, if you kind of get a combination of these investments, you know, in baseball, a triple play is a great thing for a team because you get three outs on one play and get out of the inning. But in this case, if a triple play is performed upon you, you'll be stuck with, you know, not just one horrible investment, but three, and now paying three times the cost. So beware of that.
Number six is subs. And, you know, we all know what that means. You're taking one player out and putting in another one. In the financial world, this is a very dangerous thing because sometimes a broker may recommend a product that they're switching out one for that isn't really apples right. to apples at all.
Absolutely. And anytime you hear anything's guaranteed, any type of a risky investment with a guaranteed return, they're lying to you and they're deceiving you. You know, there are CDs. There's nothing like a CD. You know, it's like being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. You're not like pregnant. Same thing with a treasury bond. There's treasury bonds, and there's nothing that's like a treasury bond. But unfortunately, you know, that many times Wall Street just comes up with – the only reason they come up with these new products is to just generate new types of revenue. So they'll come up with products that supposedly will provide high returns with little or no risk, and that's always a bad idea for you. It's a good idea for them because they'll make a lot more money. But again, there's no substitute for an insured bank account that's insured by the FDIC. There's no substitute for a government bond that's backed by the United States government. Those things are what they are.
Okay, number seven is too many men on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's another problem. You know, in sports, if you have too many men on the field, you get a penalty. In investing, many times, you know, people will say you'll have all these different products in your portfolio and, you know, hundreds of them or dozens of them or whatever it is, and they all do the same thing. and you're not diversified, and there's too many of one thing. You know, you don't need 10 funds that all invest in technology stocks.
You've actually just increased your risk profile substantially.
Exactly. Well, you multiplied it times 10 now. So unfortunately, you see many people who have many different investments, but since they're all doing the same thing, it's actually increasing their risk. You know, having a lot of investments does not mean you're diversified. It's actually, you know, quite the opposite. You know, it's like saying I have a balanced diet and I have 10 types of red meat in my refrigerator, right? It's not a balanced diet. You just have a lot of meat.
Okay, the blind side, and this is something that happens to investors when they attend free informational dinners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're promised a free lunch or a free dinner and this and that, and then you're blindsided by some sort of high-pressure sales pitch, and next thing you know, you sign up for an expensive product that you don't need, and unfortunately, you know, the psychology of it is you feel obligated because you already, you ate the free dinner, and now you kind of feel like, okay, I kind of need, you know, to do something back for that, and, you know, this people walk into those things, and they get a much different outcome than a free dinner when they leave there, and it's usually a very negative outcome.
Most expensive free dinner you'll ever have. Okay, calling an audible.
Right, that's another problem. You know, many investors will have bad ideas, and the brokers will just encourage it, and that's not what a good financial advisor does. The financial advisor is there to tell the truth and make a good plan, not reinforce bad ideas.
Well, we've run out of time. Number 10 is a roster bonus. And if you want, go to maliceforall.com and check out the blog itself.
Read it. And again, if you just understand one of these things, you're way ahead of the game of most people and will help you protect yourself.
Exactly. Be sure and tune in next week. And thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend.